Let's get the rant revival started with E! News and Davey Lane. And it's brought to you by
All Pro Foundation Repair.
Here's Dave.
Thank you. And we are honored to be joined here at the table. Table one at the Media Center for Super Bowl 60, Gordon Keith.
Yeah, and let everyone's record show that I arrived here an hour early.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
You just had your time.
And y'all refused to put me on the air.
We did.
Well, because we already had Craig.
Who was the guy who was on here?
It was Craig Miller. You do a show
with
him every
day. No, not Craig.
Oh, Josie Altidore?
Yeah, who's that?
He's an American soccer hero.
Oh. Okay.
Snake.
On your list of American
you'll
soccer
heroes.
You'll
hear him again.
Yeah, you'll hear him.
You'll hear him again when I win the E-break.
Yeah, he'll hear him in the E-break as he stepped into a giant bear trap.
Yeah, I heard the remnants of the bear trap. I just heard echoes of it that were filtering over to me.
Uh-huh.
You obviously brought something up that...
A marriage.
Oh.
Yeah, he...
He's like, so you're still happily married to that hot tennis wife of yours?
And I mean, y'all will never break up.
No.
Yeah.
And what'd he say?
He just fell silent.
We like to pattern our relationships after yours because it's so perfect in every way.
Oh, no. Well, afterwards, he, I don't know if y'all heard this, but he asked us over here because I was sitting near Michael, so he thought that we were, you know, the engineers or producers or something. And he goes, hey, was that live? Was that live?
Oh.
And we said, yeah, it was. And so I think he was going to put in a request
to edit that part out.
If it was recorded.
To get it
no, it's going to get replayed tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
But at least I can blame it on just having a coonskin cap on.
Yeah. You're uneducated.
Yes.
You're not.
You don't know the way of civilized folk.
How would I?
You hunt for your headwear.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you eat it and then you wear it.
Yes. Do we know if this is real raccoon? Are all these coon skin caps?
There's probably a label in there.
I think they're all fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tail might be real. I think the hat is fake.
I think the raccoon lobby has been able to save a lot of raccoons from becoming hats.
Yeah. I think it's illegal.
It's surprising that walking over here to the media center, he wasn't tackled by a member of PETA.
Right. And, like, spray painted or whatever they do.
Uh-huh. Dump red paint
but I
all
have,
over.
Like, under my American Freedom t-shirt, I do have a PETA shirt on. Just to cover all my bases.
PETA membership card.
Uh-huh. Look, guys.
Laminated.
All right, to E! News.
I'm good. I'm one of you. One of you.
No.
Earlier, we inducted Catherine O'Hara into the trifecta.
Oh, what an honor for her.
Yes. And
when
so
she
I don't.
Given her acceptance speech.
Well, she's dead.
I don't know if you saw this, Corby, but the Westminster Dog Show is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
It should be Westminster.
Rough.
There's not another I in there.
I know, but they should have that in there.
They should put another I in there.
Yeah, because I think Westminster is weird.
It's weird.
It's like Nor'easter. It seems incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did a tribute to Catherine O'Hara.
I've done that, a few girls.
And in particular, her character Cookie Fleck from Best in Show. Yeah, so they had a video montage of clips of O'Hara in many different roles, but particularly in Best in Show. And so in Best in Show, her character, as we mentioned, is married to Eugene Levy's character, and they have a Norwich Terrier, Winky.
Yes, a Norwich Terrier.
Yeah,
God loves Norwich Terriers, right?
Yes. And Winky overcomes insurmountable odds to win the Mayflower Kennel Club Dog Show.
Hey,
he wins Best in Show. Spoiler.
Yeah.
And so after the clips played, they had the text on the screen, a true legend, timeless talent, and icon. And they played it during the real Norwich Terrier breed judging of the Westminster Dog Show.
Heck yeah.
So very appropriate. Very sweet.
She seems universally loved. I've not heard anything negative about her.
No one has ever said a bad word about her that I can see.
Very sweet woman.
Yeah.
Although
very
she is
sad.
A Hollywood elite.
Yeah, there you go. Bob found the angle.
Yeah.
She's not now like, I can let all my hate out.
Not like the rest of us Americans.
Speaking of Hollywood
almost
elites.
Almost coastal is what I'm hearing.
Honestly,
coastal
always
elite.
Been coastal and Hollywood.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hollywood elites, we need to make good on the tease. So this is a dramatic health update for a friend of the ticket, as Christopher Kid Reed was on Good Morning America this morning, and he sat down to talk to Michael Strahan, and he revealed that he has had a heart transplant.
What?
Yes.
Did we know that?
No. Donovan got a text last night from Kid when we had no idea. And again, this is not
like... That's the most serious of the transplants, isn't it?
I would think so.
Brain, maybe.
You can't do a
simple Corby may need a doctor to speak with him.
Have you seen
now.
The man with two brains?
Can get new brain?
Can we stay on point here, though, for our friend?
Oh, yeah. He would want it this way.
He would.
Yeah,
so I want to hear if a nose transplant is more serious than a heart transplant.
So, Christopher Kid Reed, he's 61 now. And
I don't think of him as that old.
I know. Mm-hmm. And so he talked about how over the last year, he was feeling a little bit more fatigued than normal. He had shortness of breath. He was sleeping a lot more than usual. And so he was just...
Sounds like I need a new heart.
He was just...
Yeah, right. Everyone's like...
Well, he was just thinking that, you know, I'm just getting older. I'm just slowing down. But his symptoms got worse, so he checked himself into the hospital, and he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure.
Wow.
And his doctor said that you need a heart transplant. This is a life or death situation, that if you keep going on, your heart is just going to give out. Eventually, it's not going to pump enough blood, and you're just going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so they found him a new heart in 9 days.
9 days.
And
gosh, so can you imagine how many houses they had to look through?
Like
cushions overturned,
house parties, even.
Yeah, just to find a heart laying around there.
I mean, they could have just walked up and down the Tenderloin.
Well,
waited.
Yeah, just harvested
stopwatch.
One.
Watch.
And so they had a successful transplant and a late night surgery. By the time they found one and got it to the hospital. And he didn't divulge when exactly the transplant took place, but he's now recovering, and he has a new lease on life.
Does he release the details of who owned the heart first?
I don't believe so. Would you want to know? Like, would you want biographical details of the person who donated your heart?
There was a documentary that came out earlier last year. I can't remember the name of the KU basketball player. But very well-known guy in the 90s.
Gathers.
He didn't play for KU.
He donated his heart to his brother.
No. Stories are getting mixed
up. I want Corby to be able to get this out.
But this former KU player, and I think played in the pros for OKC for a long time, too. Forgetting his name. Mm.
Okay.
Anyway, he did a very...
He needed a heart transplant and ended up getting it, saved his life, and then... He wanted to meet the donor's family.
And
they wanted to meet. They had no idea.
Absolutely. I think that the donor's family wants to meet the recipient even more than the recipient wants to meet donor's family.
Yeah, because they want to see how their family members' legacy is living on.
And you all, I never not cry. I never fail to cry. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you see those videos of when the... Even now, saying it, when the mother hears the heartbeat of her child,
well,
still going on.
Yeah, and so that was it. The guy who passed away was, I think, in his 30s or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that family was all there, his siblings, his parents, and then they all one by one go up and hear the heartbeat. And it's incredibly emotional.
It's such a
moment. But I mean, and Collison is this huge, hulking NBA, guy. And he's pulling all of them in. They're all normal-sized people, and he's just holding him close to his heart. I think it's Collison.
Yeah, I'm seeing some stuff here. Did you guys see anything back there at the station? I thought...
Probably.
When Kid's donor family shows up, will they turn down the music in the house party?
Yeah.
And to let them hear the heartbeat, or will he just say, I can't really get them to turn out
the
music?
They have to rip a bowl before they hear it.
Yeah, I wonder if
shout out to our very good friend.
Absolutely.
Christopher Kid Reed.
Yes.
We hope he recovers. Sounds like he's already recovering well. Speaking of, Hal J, I believe, had a heart transplant.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah. So Hal J.
How recently?
It was 3 years ago, maybe? Something like that? And that, to me, is just... That's the one transplant that really short-circuits me. That you are, somebody else's heart is beating and your heart has stopped beating and has been incinerated somewhere.
Yeah.
Or planted up under a sweet gum tree.
I think that's what you do. You have to plant a tree.
But yeah. And then Hal J's still walking around. And then the crazier one is Dick Cheney, who Bob was a huge fan of. I remember
huge.
That. He, at one time,
external
he went for
baboon heart,
a
right?
few years with a mechanical external heart.
When he was younger, right?
No. This is when he was older. It was after he was vice president and everything. But he
like
had
external in a satchel?
It was like a briefcase or a shoulder bag. And it
hang on, I've got to grab my heart.
Yeah.
It pumped his blood, and it was a continuous pump. So there was no heartbeat. It just circulated blood
so
continuously.
Weird. How do you go through
which
security?
Makes it more of a Darth Vader character, you know, that it just...
Okay, before we get to rant coming up next, just a quick update on the search for Nancy Guthrie, the mom of Savannah Guthrie.
Yeah.
So the FBI is now joined in the investigation with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. They have announced a $50,000 reward for any information leading to the capture and prosecution of whoever's responsible. They still don't have a person of interest. They did say that her doorbell camera on the morning of Sunday, February 1st, was disabled at 1:47 in the morning.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this was planned.
So it gets better parking now.
And they also said that the blood that was found on the exterior porch of the home matches Nancy Guthrie's DNA. So it was her blood.
Why are they hurting her?
I don't know. And so Savannah has made a plea to the people that have abducted her, like, you know, we need to know that she's alive.
A carefully worded plea.
We're ready to listen. Please reach out to us. There have been a number of different notes, and two of them have included deadlines. The first was 5 p.m. today. The second was on Monday if the initial demand wasn't met. Speaking of the ransom note,
but they don't
note,
know whether those were legit or not.
Right,
same
right.
Question.
And speaking of the TMZ ransom note that came down the other day, that was indeed fake. The one that asked
for
millions in Bitcoin, and so a guy has been arrested.
Oh,
out in the L.A. area. Let's see, Derek Kayeya. And so
Kayeya.
They say that he used a virtual phone number to send text messages, and he used an email account with his real first and last name download or to get the virtual phone number.
Yeah, and
he also accessed it from an IP address at his residence.
And Bitcoin can be tracked, so that's not the crypto that you want to...
Yeah,
request.
With a cent.
So he has been arrested.
What a horrible, horrible human.
Yeah, and there have been...
I don't want to lose...
She's the victim, Bob.
And
how can you sit here and
stop it.
And there have been a number of other copycat hoax ransom notes, because people are like, well, they're obviously going to pay. They want her back, so even though I don't have her, I'm going to try and get some money out of this.
Did you see the Did you see the Mel Gibson movie Ransom?
I thought it was Taken.
That Ron Howard directed, different, totally different guy.
Okay.
No.
Yes.
No, we'll move on.
I saw it.
Okay.
No.
I was
and
just
about
say,
and it's about Ransom Miller, our friend.
Rhett Miller. Yes, it is.
it is middle name Ransom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stuart
coming up next,
Ransom Miller.
Coming up next on the rant, we met some folks.
Oh, I owe him a text.
We met some folks as Bob and I were taking our stroll across the Golden Gate Bridge, and they are here representing a very specific cause in San Francisco.
The Ticket. Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
It is 519. It is the Hardline live from San Francisco, Super Bowl 60. The big game is on Sunday. I don't know if we've said that today, but just if you're making plans, look for the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
It is the Rant Revival. It's Thursday, and it's that time again, starring the three main members of the Rant, Gen X Davey, Corby the Snake Davidson, and, of course, the one and the only. There he is. And it's brought to you by
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
And, ladies and gentlemen, here are your heroes.
All right, before we get to the meat of the segment.
If you will.
As it were. Gordon, have you been impressed or unimpressed by the likes of San Francisco on our journey here for Super Bowl 60?
I like it, but it's, of course, a mixed review. Where we're staying, you see a lot of human suffering, and I don't... I don't like that part of it.
Isn't it weird to look at your phone and your phone says the Tenderloin? Like if you look at the weather app,
yeah,
it says you're in the Tenderloin. And all I've heard about for decades is that I thought the Tenderloin was, I didn't realize it was an actual hamlet. I just thought it was like a derogatory.
It's a hamlet.
No, I thought it was like a derogatory name that they gave this stretch of land.
It's a neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but it's a weird one.
Because your loins are tender?
Tenderloin. It just sounds weird.
It does. No, I was asking Dave to define the Tenderloin to me, and he said it was a shape-based name.
Well, I've heard a different story.
It's shaped like a tenderloin. It's long and narrow.
One of the stories that we heard was there was a cop that moved here from New York, and he was working this beat. And he got so many, he said in up there he was could only afford hamburger in New York. And when he moved here, based on the amount of bribes that he took in this neighborhood, he could now afford tenderloin. And that's how it somehow took off after that among the police.
Okay.
And so then everyone started calling it that. That's just one of the origin stories.
Well, I will say that it is sort of beaten around where we are.
Yeah.
And then we took a little field trip today and instantly, San Francisco snapped back to one of the most attractive cities
you've ever been
to, and you're just like, this place is awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And so that part reminds me of Super Bowls in Los Angeles, which the region around the convention center where we are is fairly bleak.
Yeah.
And then you get out there, and it's the same city you always remember. It's not all on fire, and it's not all...
Right.
Being looted.
San Francisco is, I love it. I hate it that like Michael, our engineer, he's never been here before, and he's going to go see the bridge after we get off the air today. But there's so much more than the area that we're in, and we get caught up in the loop of just walking to our work and coming back from work and staying in the same general area. Because to get out, if you don't have a car, hey, General, if you don't have a car, then... You know, it is a little bit tough to get around, but this city has so much to offer.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Such a beautiful area,
too. Oh, my God, dude.
You know what I want to do? I love the trees so much, I kind of want to hug them. Like, they're huggable. Yeah.
That's what they want you to do.
Turning into a tree hugger.
They're huggable trees out
real,
here.
Real up-to-date term.
Cypress trees.
A lot of people still use that term.
Don't you love them? So Bob and I took a field trip this morning. Corby was going to come with us, but he had a terrible night's sleep, and I'm just too tired.
Man, I did too. I could not sleep.
Okay, and typically I do sleep well, and I had an awful night. I woke up at 3 in the morning, couldn't go back to bed. I'm like, this is awful. It's ruining my day. And then we were supposed to meet at like 8 a.m., so it's 7:30. I send a text. I'm like, guys, I don't know if I need a nap so bad because I couldn't sleep.
I got the text.
You would think.
Just says, meow, 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 meow,
you
meow,
can't
meow,
win.
Meow.
Like, what should I have said? Hey, guys.
No, you just
there's
have
no
to,
excuse.
You have to send the text and just take the hits from your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we take a Uber ride or whatever to Golden Gate Bridge. Mm-hmm. We accidentally went to Golden Gate Park first, which is not the same thing.
Yeah, this just in. Not the same place.
You guys went to the park?
That's a big park.
Oh, my God. No way.
Yeah. It's not even close.
It's not even
close. Not even remotely close.
She was a little frustrated by us.
We got it figured out. And so we...
Where's the bridge?
We walk across the bridge.
Is it in the park?
We walk across the Sausalito.
Then we went to the Golden State Warriors, and that wasn't it either.
And then hung out, we went potty in Sausalito, and then we walked back, and we were about to get coffee. There's a great little coffee shop right there.
You went to the bathroom together?
Yes.
Well,
he said it was next to each other.
Okay, so Bob wasn't sitting down, and you were aiming it between his legs.
No, we weren't crossing streams.
That's never happened, and it's a scenario you point out and suggest way too often.
It hadn't happened yet.
I think Grok has a copy of that photo somewhere.
It does not. Grok has been told not to stop doing that.
Would you end homeless in the Tenderloin, but you have to do it by going to the bathroom every single time you're in San Francisco like that?
With Dave?
With Dave.
Can we just stay on point here?
Dave fire hosing it.
Yeah. He's pro-homeless.
His golden
shaft
of light.
There are other ways to handle
to attempt to address.
Well, okay, how serious are you?
How do you know if that won't cure homelessness if you haven't tried it yet?
Yeah,
we have audio to get to.
Okay, so
we
got
to play some audio.
We'll never get there.
So we're about to go into this coffee shop, and then I see these guys that are all dressed alike with signs, and they are obviously there for a cause.
Uh-huh.
And this is a huge...
Am I the cause that's there for...
This is a huge media event. This is a huge media event, the Super Bowl, and so a lot of people show up at the Super Bowl host city to get their cause noticed.
The cause is pudding pops.
And so I don't want to...
No, I'm saying that Bill Cosby is known as the cause.
I don't want to give away the cause right off the bat.
Okay.
I'm going to let David, the guy I spoke to, tell you all about it. So this is me and David, the very... he had long gray dreadlocks.
Okay.
He's wearing all white, and he's very passionate about this particular cause. What's your name?
David Wilson.
David Wilson, are you local?
No, I'm from Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Okay, and are you just out here for the Super Bowl?
Well, we're doing a seven-day tour around San Francisco area, and we will be at the Super Bowl for Sunday, though.
So you're going to be picketing outside the Super Bowl as well?
Yes.
Okay, so explain your cause.
Well, first of all, circumcision is wrong. It became popular in America in the 1860s as punishment for boys masturbating. That there...
To make them stop touching themselves because it hurt?
Right. And Dr. John Kellogg was a big proponent of this. He also advocated carbolic acid on the of little girls. So it showed... We were in the Victorian era, Puritan, and we thought touching yourselves, masturbation, was evil.
Okay.
And then it was no medical reasons for it back there in the 60s. The only people that were cutting their boys in America were the few Jews that immigrated to the country.
Okay, let's pause it right there.
Yeah, what? Okay. So there is a long history of circumcision in the Western world.
I myself am circumcised.
Okay, but what? This guy is from Cocoa Beach, Florida. And he took the whole operation. They all did. You showed a picture of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of them. And they're doing a seven-day tour on this?
Culminating with picketing outside the stadium in Santa Clara.
Like, what?
Well, they're matching outfits.
Aren't there?
Yeah, and so they're matching outfits.
They look like Heaven's Gate.
I posted pictures on the Hardline Instagram and also on my Twitter, at Old Waver.
Good.
They're wearing all-white jumpsuits with a giant red blood stain on the crotch.
Good.
And then they are all holding...
Good them.
I like that outfit.
They are all holding signs.
That should have been the bet payoff outfit.
They are all holding signs.
Idea.
One of them says, I want my foreskin back. One says, vote no on circumcision. And another one says, stop cutting baby penis. So they are all very passionate about it, and there is a leader. He asked me after I talked to him if I wanted to meet Brother Rick.
Okay.
Brother Rick's the foreskin leader?
Yeah.
What?
Do you want to listen to the rest of it?
I do, Dave.
So
but just...
he's also the president, right? So sometimes you just abbreviate president before Rick's name. This would be P. Dot.
Gosh, dude.
What's his last name?
Do you think that would
work?
I don't know.
Is it gone missing?
What are these people doing? And they call each other brother?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Although it is a serious issue, and brother. I think it actually an interesting issue to confront, because circumcision is not medically necessary.
That's his point.
Yeah.
So let's listen.
I mean, I think he has a point.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that was practiced. All our forefathers were hanging, you know. And most of the men and boys in the world are intact. When you hear about European lover, Latin lover, Caribbean lover, they're hanging. And matter of fact, my mother is from the Bahamas, but married a Navy guy to get off the rock. And while visiting my cousins when I was seven, we're all peeing outside, and I saw they were quite different than me.
Okay. So, and there's a bunch of you. You're all dressed in white. Some of you are... Do you have the stain? Okay, yeah. You guys all have blood stains in your crotch to symbolize the circumcision. So Of all of the males that you have supporting your cause, are most of them circumcised against their will? And this is part of the reason why they're mobilized?
Yes. It should have never happened to begin with, but it happened to us as infants.
And how do you guys all meet up and identify this cause together? Is this an online community or
the
what?
Bloodstained Men is a 501c3 organization. That guy right there is Brother K that started the Bloodstained Men.
Okay.
Now, me personally, I've been demonstrating at the U.S. Capitol every year. It's called Genital Integrity Awareness Week, GIAW.org. And this will be my 33rd year of being there on an annual demonstration.
So quite a dedicated mission you have.
Well, like I said, when I learned that I had been cut, and I didn't, even though I saw my cousins, I just thought there were two different kinds of dinglings. But then in 12th grade, I mean, 6th grade, I learned what circumcision was and why that scar was on my junk. And
is he a doctor? Do you know if he's a doctor?
I do not believe he's a medical doctor, no.
Because this is the way my doctor talks to me, and I'm just...
So I'm a junk down there.
Yeah.
All right, it's time to look at your junk.
Yeah, we're at his practice at the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, hanging. Like, what is he doing?
Ding-a-ling. Yeah. Let's take a look at your ding-a-ling.
Yeah, your ding-a-ling looks different than my ding-a-ling.
Huh? So I was like 7. I was checking out my cousin's ween.
I think the medical term is ding-dong. Everybody knows this.
Okay, we're almost done.
What is this, brother who? It's brother...
Brother Rick.
I think maybe I got it wrong because he mentioned him. Right.
Brother.
Why that scar was on my junk. And it just blew me away that we would deprive American males of total sexual pleasure. Inside the foreskin, what's called the... That is the most highly sensitive sexual nerve endings in the male's sex organ. And when you're masturbating, and you see my sign, circumcision ruined the hand.
Good.
If you're cut, you're not getting up over the top. You got to on it or oil it up.
Right, so we don't know what we're missing.
Right, exactly. Guys will say, well, it didn't stop me from well, they're on the in order to get up over the head, they got to oil it up or blah, blah.
I knew it, by the way. This has nothing to do with poor little infant boys.
It's
this is all about
some
horned up community of losers with...
Well, okay. To steel man what he's trying to say, he's just saying that's one of the important aspects of it, is your sexual health, and that this is affecting of the sexual capacity for pleasure.
Yes, that it is it's ritual scarification that is robbing men of pleasure.
And so they
and
have
and you don't know what you're missing.
You're missing, right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a two-way street, right?
It absolutely is, and I think that's what a lot of people ignore about the issue is that there's upsides to being circumcised as well as downsides.
Well, he does mention that.
Okay.
He's able to drag his up over the top, massage the ridge band of sexual nerves for our sexual pleasure.
What is going on?
But the other thing is that sex is different for the female. And the cut male, that backward head of a plunger will drag out all the dryness, friction, pain. That's why American men got to have a bottle of oil or something laying around.
You got to have the lube in the bedside table.
Yes, but with the intact male, the initial lubrication from the is enough for the intact male to get in. And, you know, you slide something in, no more lubing it, you're going to grip it. So her grips the foreskin. No more her raw as the
this is
inside of the foreskin. It massages the ridge down the sexual...
Again,
obviously.
The beginning minute and a half of these poor children, and I can't believe what we do to our babies and these infants, and it's so unfair to
a little too graphic.
And then suddenly it all turns into a freaking...
Yeah, it's a penthouse letter.
Yes, it is. The natural oils and lube that you're using from the skin.
I never thought it would happen to me.
When you slap her up real nice and she gets ready for you.
Wait, sir, I thought you were talking about infants. No, not anymore.
She's got to deal with my reverse plunger.
Jeez Louise.
It's the worst doctor of all time.
And if I may.
Go on.
Yes, Bob.
Although we might need to carry this over. Would be... this is actually a situation where you would say, not to clutch pearls here.
Yeah.
But what do I tell my kids?
we're hiking the bridge, and here are these 12, 15 knuckleheads, all with a giant red
stain
right there in the privates, and they're holding these signs.
And there's kids everywhere.
It does feel like, what would I tell my kids?
Like, what are they doing?
If I had
here?
A second grader trying to sort through what's happening right now.
Well, they're just trying
I don't want to have this talk right now.
About the natural oils that foreskin provides. Oh, cool. That sounds great.
Yeah, and, you know, once again, there's upsides and there's downsides.
Sure, but
some women prefer guys circumcised and some of them,
fine,
I guess, don't.
But
so it doesn't matter.
But at its core, 99.9% of males only know one way. And so it's kind of conjecture to say definitively, well, this way's way better than this way, and therefore, you know.
How does he know that?
Exactly. Now, I'm sure there are some adults that said, you know what, I want to break on through to the other side and see how that is.
They can only go one direction.
But
there,
you're either A or B.
Is that the name of the band?
You're either A or B.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Like, you have an A and B.
But it is obviously a serious issue because you're talking about doing this to infants.
100%.
They don't.
And as a dad,
consent,
that's a weird thing to sort through when you have a boy.
There's no going back. And so it is it's a huge decision that parents have to make.
So do you think that his search history is stranger than yours?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if he would mobilize 3,000 miles to come work out
issue. That's for a week. For a week, this lunatic is there.
He's not a lunatic.
Oh,
he is.
He's a weirdo.
He take
a
public speaking course, but other than that.
Do we want to carry it over, or are we done?
No, we can carry it over.
There's just maybe a minute more of audio, and then we can post-game show.
Yeah, we'll carry over
there. Okay.
I want my foreskin back.
Thank you very much, Mr. DJ, as we are continuing our live coverage of Super Bowl 60 from San Francisco, California.
By talking about circumcision.
Well, it's the hot issue here in San Francisco.
Yeah, as Dave and Bob learned, there was a protest going on out by Golden Gate Park with a bunch of guys. Were there any women there?
Yeah, they had a few women in their ranks.
How are they holding up?
I don't know, but yeah, they were a group called the Bloodstained Men, and they are anti-circumcision.
So is this a religious thing if we're calling him Brother Rick?
I don't know. It's just kind of culty.
Yeah, very culty.
So, yeah, I'll just throw out, we need to put up an anonymous poll. It's hard to say. I wonder if women have an opinion on this issue. Or are they just going to choose whatever their guy is at the moment?
Yeah.
There's a greater possibility that women have an opinion than men, because men, I assume,
it's the way it is.
Know one way.
Yeah.
Right. And while his very flimsy story of we were all going wee at age 7 years old and I noticed that everyone was different, His backstory is very flimsy.
Yeah.
There's very few times 7-year-olds all present to each other in that sort of situation. But, yeah, by the time you get to
all right, do you
sports.
Want to hear the end of the interview with David Wilson from Bloodstained Men, also from Genital Integrity Awareness Week?
Fake. I thought those were competitors.
No, they work together.
Oh.
In unison.
They have a common cause. All right, so this is just the end of the interaction from this morning.
It's back inside of the foreskin. It massages the ridge band of sexual nerves for your pleasure, but because of the double fold layer of skin, it causes the penis to get thicker and provides a thumping action to the root of the...
You've got this down.
Damn right, man. I know what I'm talking about on this.
Well, good luck in your cause, and we'll be looking for you on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yep.
Hopefully they give you guys some airtime.
I hope so. Here's the card. You want me to introduce you to Brother K real quick?
Sure.
No, that's okay.
Brother K, that's what it was.
Did Brother Kane, did you go over there and...
Yeah.
Did you ask for a toque you could put on and... I can't. And is it just perfect that these guys are all from, like, Central Florida?
Well, that was just the one guy. I don't know where everybody else was
You're being
from.
Judgy, Sammy.
Yeah. Yeah, coonskin cap guy.
Florida man checks in. Is that what you're saying?
All I'm saying is this is such a big scam, and these people make
How
me
is it a scam?
It's a scam.
How are they profiting off of being anti
their
foreskin removal?
They're using infants as their shield.
What?
When the actual reality is these are a bunch of horned up old effers.
No,
that are
they're
just
using
looking for some way
like
to
every other business or cause, they use sex appeal to add to their message, to draw you in.
Yeah.
They're using it as a tool to get you to be aware.
And imagine being that concerned with it all in the first place, that you would form a group and wear the stupid outfits and call each other brother. And it's
yes.
Just so...
if I was ticked off that my member was not doing,
what
was doing too much
was.
Plunging action.
Uh-huh.
It was the reverse ridge or whatever he was saying.
Could I throw this out, though?
Your foreskin?
Just on the table?
No, like,
for those who can't see, it was a thrown radio. Bob has his foreskin out.
Do you want to try and ring it on my water?
I would say as...
Here's a cigar cutter.
I would say as a dad, it would have been nice to have a little more feeling of or education as to... So, like,
you were probably faced like, okay, here's the baby, and now what do? We got to make this decision.
And then
quick.
You basically kind of look back at them like, so should we? You know, and maybe every dad in the world, when he hears we're having a boy, goes and does, you know, a semester somewhere to really get all the facts and everything. But it felt at least 20 years ago or 22 years ago or whatever that it felt like it kind of depends who you ask. As to what the proper decision is and what the pros and cons are and all that sort of thing. It does feel like we are thrust into a decision that we are not educated enough to make. So usually you just go with, you know, whatever
you end up
with.
Well, the doctor basically is like, okay, are you ready to do this? And you're just like, yeah. I think most dads are just so overwhelmed by the fact that you suddenly have a kid. That all of a sudden, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this just happened.
Well, and if you're sawing an umbilical cord,
but don't you
you're
feel
delivering
like,
placenta, what does it matter
but,
if you just
exactly,
off a foreskin?
What's the third one?
But I will admit, it does feel like a big decision. And,
it is
and,
a big
and
decision.
You put, and you put like 20 seconds into it, and if you get the nod of yes or maybe not, then you probably would just go with whoever's convincing and talking to you at that moment.
And that kid lives with it for their entire earthly existence.
But if you're cut, you're probably going to say, well, yeah, go ahead.
Right. I bet you that's what happens 80% of the time. It's whatever the dad is, that's the same decision that's made for the kid.
Probably 90. And I think most parents today are just like, yeah, just go.
But I'm sure there's a large contingent of men who are uncut who wish that they were. And there's a lot who have also sought it out, adult circumcision, which is a lot more involved and a lot more painful.
Yeah,
and
it sounds like
worse healing.
Yeah, ooh.
I would say...
Ooh-y.
I would say it's a weird thing to put into the hands of a dad, but also it's something.
Are we still talking about the foreskin?
It also feels like something that everybody just kind of does it because society, you know,
it's tradition.
Yes, if you see,
but then you also don't think about it.
If 8 out of 10 in your surroundings you've thought. Had it, then you would say yes. If 8 out of 10 did not, you would say yes, and then you find out our country
say no.
Our country does it, most of the world doesn't, sort of thing.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, have you thought about it one time in the 22 years since your kid's been born until right now? Like, it's one of those things that you don't ever, ever, ever think about.
Yeah, but when you do think about it, you do realize how big of a decision that was.
I will say this, though, Corby.
Rolled off my back. I didn't think about it.
I feel like they could probably educate us without blood-stained white overalls.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, why do they have to dress like the Bee Gees in order to get their point
and
across?
And call each other brother. The hand thing
because you're in a because you're in a club, brother. Right, with other weirdos,
and
you
weird
call each other
club.
Brothers.
You all hop in a van and go find the Super Bowl?
Brother from another mother.
And they ain't flying out here. This was a creepy road trip with creepy stops.
Well, they're going to be around town all. I mean, they've been around town all week. I'm sure they have another appearance somewhere tomorrow, and then Saturday, and then they'll be out in Santa Clara on Sunday.
Sounds like a great time. I really feel like I missed out on a calling almost.
Yeah, I mean, you could have met Brother K.
I know, brother is a leader.
If you had just gotten a better night's sleep.
And I want to compliment Dave for being a man on the streets who was out there following the news.
I saw a story and I sniffed it out.
Courage. Yes.
You were sniffing their bloody crotches.
Uh-huh. Right? Can I smell your blood?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, it smells metallic.
gross.
Anyway, that was our field trip today.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys found that. That's awesome.
And the bridge rules.
It really does.
That's my top-ranked bridge, Gordon.
Meh.
There was just too much fog
built in
today.
1937.
I'll go back to my hotel room and look at pictures of it. So,
have you been reading in your bathtub this week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring candlelight? Did you bring LHO's bathtub with you here?
What? No. No, I bring a piece of it.
You check it.
Do you have any sort of process to prepare the bathtub for reading?
No, I mainly prepare my body for the bath when I read in there.
Do you guys ever,
can
we bathe in that? I'm trying to think.
Can you bathe in a bathtub?
Do we have a bathtub?
Yes.
It's just a shower.
Well, no, mine's a bathtub.
What do you think the difference is?
I have a bathtub.
It doesn't have a ridge that you step over.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, it does.
I can't remember.
You have a special shower?
Maybe I have
a don't have a ridge? You're like the Bloodstained Brothers.
All right, we got to go. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
Yes, there's the
rant.
214-520. Help. The Hardline Helpline.
Brought to you by
the Good Feet Store, Milestone Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, Electrical, and more.
It sounded like you had a little.
I'll be fine.
Do you need another Dr. Pepper or do you need some water?
I got Dr. Pepper.
Need a jolt?
Does he have a backup Dr. Pepper bag, DJ?
He almost always does have a backup Dr. Pepper. Seriously.
Just in case.
Yeah. A break glass in case of emergency.
Maybe some strawberry quick.
Okay, so last week, Dave ran into the Bloody Pants men. What were they called?
What were they called?
They all were wearing all white.
All right,
they
brother.
Were total freak show cult people, and they were walking around the Golden Gate Bridge area with white pants, white shirt, and a big blood stain on their pants, and they were basic anti-circumcision people.
I want my foreskin back.
And at first, the guy, Dave talked to him, and the guy was like, you know, you just can't do this to infants, and it's just, you're harming the infants' bodies. And then we find out that it's all about these horn dog old dudes that are upset that they weren't allotted the most perfect sexual gratification.
Yeah, because the
parents,
foreskin has lots of nerve endings.
Apparently, and whatever. I mean, it's such a grift for horn dogs, and they're creepy as hell, and they call each other brother, and
it's very culty.
Dude, it's weird.
Yeah, and they were there all week. Somebody sent me pictures of them. There's a giant statue of a naked woman downtown, and they were all protesting around this statue.
Ugh.
And then they were out at the game at Santa Clara.
They were grass at the game?
If you look at their rap sheet, I would imagine it's quite long.
I think Bloodstained Men, I think that's what they're called.
Okay.
Yeah.
More power to them.
Yeah,
well,
so
anyway.
I got a response, because we had a very robust conversation about these guys during the rant revival with Gordon, and we were talking about that you either know one way or the other, that you don't necessarily know what you're missing.
It's tough to switch directions midstream.
Well, I got an email from an anonymous P1. He did not want to give his name.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, he used a email forwarding service to keep himself extra anonymous.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
I heard the cut uncut talk and had to write in because I'm one of the few that has experienced both. Bob, you said 99% of males only know one way.
Yes.
I'm here for the 0.1%.
Okay. I don't think that equals 100, but okay.
Well, you said 99.9.
Okay, yeah, I think I did.
Sorry. And he said, my dad was European, so he naturally said no to the imposition. I didn't have any issues with being uncircumcised until I was in high school and I was getting intimate with a lady. My
erection
was trying to push through the foreskin, but was unable to because the opening was too small.
What?
What?
Growing up, I didn't know that you're supposed to pull it back and clean it every day.
Ugh.
Because of the problem...
Was he raised by wolves?
I decided... Yeah, what happened to the European daddy? Because of the problem, I decided to get the procedure done junior year of high school. It was, yes, very uncomfortable. You got to sit on ice. You can't
jerk it.
You may wrap the bandages too tight, and it just sucks. But it only sucked for a week or two. Everything has been great since. I would highly recommend. All the best, and queef. Anonymous.
Okay.
So he had an actual physiological reason for getting it done as a high schooler.
Yeah.
Imagine the shock of, oh my gosh, it hurts, it doesn't work.
Yeah, just all weird.
I have heard the hygienic reasons.
Yes, that's what I always heard.
That feels like the most compelling is there are hygienic duties that may not be quite the same. And where I have heard it really gets to be a problem is late in life.
Oh, yeah.
As you're perhaps
you're aging and
you're elderly. And
as you're not maintaining.
No one's going down there.
Proper hygiene. And maybe you pass the 80s to mid-80s threshold and so forth.
You forget. You forget everything.
It's a. Don't start. It's definitely a place of great concern to some. And that you're probably now pot committed to not fixing it. But I would just say in terms of
your
health
poor,
and wellness.
Your poor nurse and that sponge bath. That's
at a certain age, enough things go wrong with your body that you don't need to be adding to the list. I don't know that that's a compelling reason necessarily. But that's
to rob yourself of immense pleasure your entire life. Just so
we all make
you
trades.
Don't have a dirty peen when you're 80.
I just, I don't know if that's a super convincing case he made, but hey, different strokes for different folks.
Well, I mean, he's just
so to speak.
He's just raising his hand as one who has seen both sides of the argument.
Yes.
Well, I think that is the Bob side of it is that's a massive selling point. Again, if you've ever dealt with old parents before, and the things that you do have to do for them, and changing catheters and bags and all that stuff, dude, it's already horrific enough. I think that that's a good selling point of you need to get it done before then.
It is, but who's doing that calculus when they're 0 days old?
I know.
And as he verifies, the post-adolescence adulthood procedure sounds like roughly the worst thing possible.
Totally.
Other than full amputation.
Right.
That sounds
worse. You're a Game of Thrones character.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for the helpline. That's a true helpline, helping helpline.
It is. Thank you.